الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we are late a bit late today to commence the reading of our book Al-Arba'un by Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. We had intended to come some earlier, but some things held us back from the preordainment of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook our shortcomings. Today, inshallah, we read al-hadithu al-salifu wa-ishru. We read the 23rd hadith today. And al-Imam al-Nawawi titled that hadith, he called it Jawami'ul Khair. He called it Jawami'ul Khair. Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, he has titled this hadith Jawami'ul Khair. This is one of the ways of the people of hadith. A hadith would have a name based on its text sometimes. And a hadith will have a name based on the reporter who has reported the hadith. For example, a hadith will have a name based on its text, as we have it in the hadith of Jibreel. If it is said hadith of Jibreel, it is not as if there is a hadith other than the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab that was reported by Abdullah from his father, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or as reported by Abu Huraira and others who have reported that hadith. So that hadith is called Hadith of Jibreel, because the subject matter of that hadith was surrounding Jibreel alayhi salam. It started with him and it ended with him, because he said alayhi salatu wa salam at the end, at the beginning of the hadith, Umar radiallahu anhu said, Baynama nahnu julusun inda rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, istala alayna rajulun. And at the end of the hadith, he says, fa innahu jibril atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. So this hadith is usually referred to as hadith jibril. So, and this is based on the text and what the hadith contains. So there are some other ahadith that are given names based on the chain of narration, sometimes based on the companion who has reported the hadith. And it's going to be popular like that. Hadith Fulan ibn Fulan. Once they say it, they know the hadith. Sometimes it has to do with the matter. For example, I remember an incident between two brothers. The other was asking, is it permissible that someone who wants to make nafil performs his salah behind the one who wants to perform an obligatory salah? And so they started a discussion. So one of them said, there is evidence for it, and that is the hadith of Muaz ibn Jabal. On the issue of someone having performed an obligatory prayer, having to now lead those who will perform nafil in salah, once you say the hadith of Muaz ibn Jabal, it is known which hadith is that. It is known, the hadith is known. If you are talking about Azl and you said hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the hadith is known. If you are talking about wudu, you say the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the hadith is known. So they give a hadith names based on so many things. Sometimes based on the matter they are talking about. Sometimes based on who has reported the hadith. Sometimes based on some other reporters in the chain of narration of the hadith. So it becomes popular by that. So but this, because of the content of what this hadith contains of benefit, Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah has titled the hadith, he said it is what? Jawami'ul Khair, a compilation, a compendium of goodness, something that's containing goodness. All of it is good, and every good is in it, like an encyclopedia of goodness. So he called it Jawami'ul Khair, and a compendium of goodness. alayhi rahmatullah. And by the time we read the hadith, we'll see what it means, what it contains of goodness, the goodness that encompasses, that its value is beyond what the heavens, the gap between the heavens and the earth. A goodness, something simple, but it's bigger in terms of its reward than the space between the heavens and the earth. So we see it's a lot of khairat. They call it Jawami'ul Khair. And this hadith is the hadith of Abu Malik Al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأان أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع النفس فمعتقها أو موبقها رواه مسلم. This hadith in it says عن أبي مالك الحارث Ibn Asim al-Ash'ari. This hadith is reported by the companion whose name is Al-Harith and his kunya is Abu Malik. And as we remember about every companion that is mentioned in this book, Al-Arba'un, Al-Imam al-Nawawi will tell us his kunya. So the kunya of this companion is Abu Malik. عن أبي مالك الحارث بن عاصم. His name is الحارث بن عاصم العشعري. So the companion is الحارث بن عاصم from the Ash'ari tribe. So it's from the tribe of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So there are many of them like that who were from the Ash'ariyun amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, such that the Prophet used to say well about the Ash'ariyun. They are different from the Asha'ira. The Asha'ira are the deviant sect that are connected to the man called Al-Ash'ari. But these people are Ash'ari as a tribe, not as a sect. They are a tribe that was known in the days of Islam, and many of them left their place and came to Medina and stayed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And something good is usually mentioned about the Ash'ariyun, and that is the fact that they helped themselves so much. One of the hadith that has been mentioned about their fadail is that when any of them has a problem, for example, not having food, the other one does not have food, but this and that have food. So all those who have food will combine their food, and they who had the food and those who did not have the food will share the food. Those who had food will share food with those who did not have food. And all those who had food will combine their food and they'll all distribute it together. If I'm not forgetting, this hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim from the Fadail of the Ash'ariyin. So they were a group of people who loved themselves so much, and they cooperated amongst themselves regarding that which is good, helping one another and all that. Anyway, this is not an evidence for, you know, forming societies and organizations. Because people could say, yes, but the people of the Ash'ariyun who lived in Medina, the Prophet spoke well of them, and what he said they were doing was that they were helping themselves. Yes, any group of Muslims could help themselves. And for the fact that if you make sadaqah al-aqrab fal-aqrab, you prefer those who are nearer to you and then those who are nearer to you, then definitely it would imply that the Ash'ari would be closer to another Ash'ari than other than an Ash'ari. If an Ash'ari has to distribute a gift that he has. So they help themselves regarding that. And the same thing applied. We had the Ansar, we had the Muhajirun. And yet it was not a basis for bifurcating the Muslim community. So, but this is different from what we have from the societies and organizations, where the societies themselves is the deen. The society is the deen itself now. The societies are, they form the pseudo authorities now amongst the Muslims. So the Ansaruddin, they have their own power structure and authority. They have their own deen. If you go to a marriage ceremony, you see some things there, the Ansaruddin, they say, no, this is how we in Ansaruddin, this is how we perform our own marriage. If you go to Nawairuddin, they say, we in Nawairuddin. So that is their own deen they have created for themselves on the basis of their societies and associations. So, and that was why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited any invitation to any kind of thing, even among these people who were known and mentioned in the Quran. In one of the battles they performed, one of the people said, oh Ansar, come. Oh Muhajirun, come. Prophet said, when I'm still alive, you are calling Ansar Muhajirun. When I'm still alive. So the Muslim, yarhamukallah, the Muslim does not make invitation to, you know, tribes or groups or faction. He sees himself as the brother of the rest of the Muslims. That is not to say if he has a brother that is closer to him, he should not give him preference. And because Allah said to us that وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَفْعَلُوا إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا. He says كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَسْطُورًا. That is how Allah has preordained that in his Lawh al-Mahfuz, that ulul arham ba'dhum awla bi ba'd, those who are from the wombs are given more preference. But that is not regarding the matters that are concerning all the rest of the Muslims. If a matter is concerning all the rest of the Muslims, such as going to a battle, such as facing enemies, such as performing salah, such as paying zakah, and all of these, all the rest of the Muslims are concerned, and no one of them should be segregated along the lines of tribe or faction or societies. So, and there was still Allah had prohibited the formation of factions and societies amongst the Muslims. He subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it from the acts of the mushrikun. He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرْحُونَ. So he says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Do not be like those idolaters, min al-lazina farraku, those who divided their religion and formed factions and sects. Wakanu shia, he says, kullu hizbin, each faction says, bimalada infat, this is the best you can have. So Ansaruddin will say, this is the best you can have. Nasfat is the best you can have. Qarib is the best you can have. Kullu hizbin, MSF too, the best you can have. In the sight of an ardent MSF tuluwa, there is no Islam anywhere except in this MSF. And they will tell you it is this MSS. Some people used to refer to the MSS as the Noah's Ark of today. This is from Jahiliyyah. To say the Noah's Ark of today is MSS. You know what that means? Anybody that does not embark upon it will be destroyed. Because the one who did not embark upon the Ark of Nabi Noah alayhi salatu wasalam became destroyed. So if you say MSS is the Noah's Ark of today, this is mere factionalism. Kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. So it is that far. So if you are not in IVC camp, you are nowhere. It is still from that thing, from that Hizbiyah. If you didn't come to MSS Usra, it is from that Hizbiyah. You are labeled. So he didn't attend Usra. He did not come for so and so. So the MSS has banned so and so person. If you ask them, why did the MSS, they say he has anti-MSS activities. Not anti-Islamic activities. That person is saying that one person has anti-MSS activities. He has shaved his beard, though. He is dragging his babariga on the ground, though. And he's wearing Muadu Abenkyo. He's saying that somebody does anti-MSS activities. But his own activities are anti-Islam, and he has not banned himself. because those societies themselves have become bases of what is referred to as al-wala wal-bara. Al-wala, you know, agreeing and cooperating upon ourselves, and al-bara, distancing ourselves and creating enmity with people, loving and hating. Now, the basis of it is because somebody is in MFS, somebody is in TMC, somebody is in, and that's why in some parts of the country, somebody is no more a member of MFS. It is as if he has disbelieved, he has gone out of Islam. You see, you are no more part of MFS. Sorry, as if he has disbelieved. So that is not the kind of thing that was found amongst the people of amongst the Ash'ari youth. They helped themselves and they made things easy for themselves. In fact, what they did will be counted as from what Allah said in the Quran, that ta'awanu 'ala al-birri wa taqwa wa la ta'awanu 'ala al-ithmi wa al-udwan. So this companion radiallahu anhu is from amongst the reporters of narration. He has reports a hadith in different books of hadith, and he died in the 18th year after Hijrah. Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he died in the 18th year of Hijrah from an epidemic, a ta'un called ta'un amwas. This ta'un amwas, over 25,000 Muslims died over a few days. Ta'un amwas. Amwas is the name of a place in present day Palestine. That was where the epidemic came, and that was during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Many companions also died. From amongst them was Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah, Aminul Ummah. That was during the time that he died. He died in that epidemic. And from among those who died in that epidemic was this companion, Abu Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu anhu. So he reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That is just being strict with the text we have read. He said, Qala Rasulullah. I said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu. What he said was that Allah's messenger said, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, "At-tuhuru shatru al-iman, walhamdulillahi tamla'u al-mizan, wa subhanallahi walhamdulillahi tamla'ani aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard, was-salatu nurun, was-sadaqatu burhanun, was-sabru diya'. والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع النفس فمعتقها أو موبقها." He reported that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, الطهور شطر الإيمان. Purification is a half of Iman. Purification is a half of Iman is Tahara. He said, Walhamdulillahi. And to say Alhamdulillah, that all praise Lillah belong to Allah or is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tamla'u al-mizan. It fills the mizan, the measure. We had told us about what the mizan is while we read from Usulul Aqidah, Usulul Sunnah, that wal mizan haqqun, that on the day of Qiyamah Allah will bring a mizan, a measure, wherein evil and good deeds will be placed on each side of the palm. We discussed that some lengthy period. So he says, walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. The reward of saying Alhamdulillah, tamla'ul mizan. It fills the mizan. It fills, of course, the scale of good deeds for the Muslim. Wa subhanallahi walhamdulillahi tamla'ani. To say subhanallah, that is, Allah is free from every inadequacy. Subhanallah. Allah is free from every inadequacy. So you say, glorious is Allah. Subhanallah is that Allah is free. Every attribute that depicts inadequacy, Allah is free from it. So if someone is wondering, does Allah see? And does Allah does not see? This one, the one who will argue it, is the one who has not known Aqidah Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah very well. Because Allah sees, He has eyes. Not to have eyes is from inadequacy. So Allah is Subhanallah. Allah is the one who is not described, He is not inadequate in anything. So this is from the evidences that Allah sees and Allah has eyes. Because to have eyes and see are from the attributes of perfection as far as seeing is concerned. Not to have eyes and not to see is from the attributes of imperfection. We say Subhanallah. So Allah is free of every imperfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He says, La ta'akhudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. So He does not slumber. Wala nawm. Neither does Allah sleep. So every attribute that depicts inability, imperfection, Allah is free from it. So everything that you know is imperfect, don't describe Allah with it. And from that also is to describe Allah with the attributes of human beings. Because the attributes of human beings are imperfect. From attributing imperfection with Allah is to say that the one who says Allah sees as human beings see, to make tashbih, to liken Allah's attributes to those of human beings, is from attributing imperfection to Allah. Because the sight of man is imperfect. Man does not see everything. No one sees what is behind him. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who told us that he sees what is behind him, ulama say it is in salah. He has not said he sees what is behind him except in salah. He says, make your sufuf correct. Make them perfect. Because I see you from behind me. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But that is in salah. So, and what happens to him as a matter of a miracle? Like when he came back from Mi'raj and he was being asked about Masjid al-Aqsa. He was being told to describe what was happening. He said, Allah brought it to me and I was looking at it and I was describing it like this. It's a miracle. Else, human beings do not see what happens in towns and cities away from them. So the sight of man is inadequate. The sight of man is imperfect. But Allah sees everything. Allah sees all things. Because His is not imperfect. His is perfect. So but what you say that Allah sees and we see. If you say Allah sees and we see, have you not compared the attributes of Allah and that of human beings? We say no, there is no comparison in that. There is no tamthil or tashbih or any of these in that. Because what is being considered is the attribute of sight and not what sees. What we must not compare is what sees, not the attribute itself. So when you say Allah sees, we see. Seeing is not comparing anything with any person. But what is being talked about is the person who sees. Let's give us an example. Ants see, don't they? We see. But do we see as ants see? Do ants see as we see? So if there is difference between seeing as far as human beings, creatures are concerned, then there is a greater difference between seeing as far as the creator and the created is concerned. So to attribute the way of seeing of an ant to a human being is bringing imperfection to human beings. So the same way we must not attribute the way we see to the way Allah sees is bringing imperfection to Allah's attribute. So Allah is Subhanallah, Allah is free from every imperfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Subhanallah walhamdulillah, these two statements to say that Allah is free of every imperfection, walhamdulillah, and that every thanks and praise belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are owned by Allah and they are rightful to Him. Lillah. Lillistihqaq. It could mean that it is rightfully for Allah. All praise. The one who to whom it is rightful is Allah. Lillah. It could also mean lil milk. That it belongs to Allah. Ownership. He owns them. So Allah owns every place. Every place belongs to Him. They are due to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we make this statement, subhanallah, understanding the implications and saying it with all our hearts, believing in it in our hearts, and uttering it with our tongue, it says, tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard, aw tamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. These two statements, they fill up what is in between the heavens and the earth. So is it Jawamil Khair or not? To say Subhanallah walhamdulillah, the reward that a person gets from it fills up the heavens. What is between the heaven and the earth? And only Allah knows what that distance is. But perhaps when someone looks up into the sky and he sees clouds, he will think that he has seen the heavens. He has not seen anything from the heavens. But if you take a flight, in less than 2 minutes after the airplane takes off, you are away from these clouds. Less than 2-3 minutes. Especially if it's an international flight, in less than 2 minutes, you are away. You've gone out of this cloud you are seeing. After 2-3 minutes maximum. So how can this be the heavens? It is not the heavens. This is just a cloud. An accumulation of gases. That's all. So, the heavens, only Allah knows how far it is from the earth. And the reward of the one who says, Subhanallah walhamdulillah, he fills it. So it is Jawamil Khair. This statement. Jawamil Khair. Someone says, Alhamdulillah, Tamla'ul Mizan. It fills up the Mizan. So he has a lot of good deeds. يُسْكِلُ مَوَازِينُهُ. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ سَكُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَوْمِيَةٍ. The one whose scale, whose good deeds. Ulama say when they say mawazin, it is al-mizan. But when you say mawazin, it is talking about what is weighed. But when you say mizan, yes, it is the singular of mawazin. But when you say mawazin, you are talking about the deeds. Because the deeds, al-mawzun, they are many. But when you say al-mizan, you are talking about the scale itself. So it says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ سَكُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. So the one whose good deeds are many and weighty on the scale. May Allah make us from these people on the day of Qiyamah. Mm-hmm. It says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَضِيَةٍ. He's going to live in a joyful existence. He's going to get al-jannah. So from what will bring thiqul, weight, heaviness to our scales on the day of Qiyamah is to say what? Alhamdulillah. Jawamiul Khair. And Allah has blessed Muslims with these words to make Jannah an entrance into it easy for us. And that's why in the hadith the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلِيَحْمَدُ رَبَّهُ. The one who finds good on the day of Qiyamah, let him praise, give thanks to his Lord. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. The one who does not, who finds other than that, فَلَا يَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Let him not blame anyone except who? Himself. Because he had all the opportunity, but he fluffed them. He fluffed them away. He wasted the opportunities. So he will be asked on the day of Qiyamah, Alamna ja'allahu aynayn wa lisanan wa shafatayn, that with which you can say Alhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan, so that today your scales will be filled up. Wa hadaynahu najdayn, and all that. Allah will be asking of all the favors he had done to him. So this is the chance and opportunity that we have. So when about everything we do, especially eating and drinking, they usually involve saying Alhamdulillah. You want to drink water, you say Bismillah. You finish drinking, you say Alhamdulillah. You want to drink milk, say Bismillah. You finish drinking, you say Alhamdulillah. You want to drink juice, Mountain Dew, say Bismillah. You finish drinking, you say Alhamdulillah. So when you say this, Tamla'ul Mizan, you have rewards. But don't forget, you also have sins you are piling up. So that's why saying Alhamdulillah once or twice, oh, I've already filled my scale, it does not suffice. Because you are also having sins piling up by the day. Those of you who are teachers in the school, teaching girls and all that, how many times have you had to see what you do not desire, you hate to see? How many times have you seen what you hate to see? And those who are lecturers in the university and polytechnics here, how many times have you had to see what you hate to see? Every day. Every day. When you are in your office, they come and meet you there. If those ones, if you are the one in secondary school, they come, sir, we want to see you. And all that. If you are a medical doctor, how many times have you had to see what you hate to see? You hate to see. And you have had to see it. Not from the patient too, that you can say, oh, that is as a result of the darura of dawao. Not darura of healing somebody or bringing cure. From your nurses, your pharmacists, your cleaners. Such that sometimes when people start seeing what they dislike, they say subhanallah. Subsequently, they don't say subhanallah again. Saying subhanallah could be from, you get the reward from when you see something regarding which you are surprised. That's subhanallah, something distasteful. So you get the reward from that. And then you would have said subhanallah, perhaps if you had alhamdulillah, فَتَمْلَأَنِ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So it would be from إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَا سَيِّئَاتِ. But subsequently, because of the frequency of what you see, you don't say subhanallah again. If I somebody says subhanallah near, you say, oh, you are saying subhanallah, you never see anything of it. So that's why, despite saying these words, we should not relax. We should say many more, because of many more bags of loads of matters that we have to settle. So when you say Alhamdulillah, say more. Alhamdulillah. And let it be from all of your heart, so that it will not be as if you are hallucinating. You know hallucination? Somebody is just talking, does not know what he's talking about. So don't say azkar absent-mindedly. Say azkar when your attention, with giving attention to what you say. So when you look at things, say Alhamdulillah. When you think about Allah's favor, you say Alhamdulillah. There are so many things in us that will deserve that. We'll be saying Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. And we just go on saying Alhamdulillah. From what is mentioned of the verse, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. That verse in Surah Al-Kahf is that there are some of the companions who will stay in the masjid and they will be saying Alhamdulillah just because Allah has guided them into Islam when others did not know what Islam is. So the Prophet will come into the masjid and ask them, what are you saying? We are thanking Allah. الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهَدَدِيَا. So they will be thanking Allah for the favor of Islam. So how much favors of Allah do we thank Allah for? The favor of sleeping and waking up, Ikhwan, is it not favor? That one sleeps and wakes up. Doctor, is it a favor? Wallah, it's a favor. You say, I want to urinate. Is it a favor or not? Hello, Musuna. Urinating. I want to go to toilet. Is it a favor? I want to pray, salah. It's time for us to. Is it a favor that we are conscious like this? Wallah, it's a favor. If it is age, people are older than you and they don't have that consciousness. If it is wealth, people are more wealthy than you and they don't have that consciousness. I know somebody who has sent a brother on Hajj and Umrah every year. That brother, we don't used to ask him, are you going for Umrah? He's going. Don't ask him. This brother has gone for Umrah more than 11 times now, thereabouts.
And the person who gives him the money every year, he managed to go once. In one of the years, he gave a lot of money to the brother. He said, go, I will meet you there. He did not come. When the brother called him, when are you arriving? He said, I'm busy. I don't think I'll be able to come. So that we have to think of Allah to do good deeds is requiring that we say Alhamdulillah to Allah, to thank Him for that mercy. So our Alhamdulillah can never finish. So he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ta'udu ni'matallahi, it will not finish. And he himself, it is from what he says about himself that he wants us to realize. When he talked about the angels, you know what he started with? He says, Alhamdulillahi fatiris samawati wal ard, ja'ilil malaikati rusulan, uli ajnihatin masna wa thulatha wa ruba, yazidu fil khalqi ma yasha. He says, Alhamdulillah, all praise, I own them, I own every praise. If you want to praise, praise me. Thank me, I own everything, call praise. They should come to me by right. Why? Fatiris samawati wal ard. He originated heavens and earth when heaven and earth never existed anywhere. Ja'ilil malaikati rusula. He made the angels messengers. Uli ajniha, who had wings. Masna, two. Wasulata, three. Waruba, four. Say, yazidu fil khalqi ma yasha. I multiply creation as I will. As he wills, he multiplies creation. As he wills. And when he talked about bringing the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam to the heavens, what did he say? Subhanallahi, subhana. Subhanallahi asra bi'abidihi layla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. So ikhwan, these statements, they are benefits for us. And that's the essence of mentioning the titling of Al-Imam al-Nawawi of this hadith as Jawami'ul Khair, an encyclopedia, so to speak, a compendium of goodness. So we have opportunity now, before it becomes a time when we can't say Subhanallah again. Because a time is still coming like that, we will not be able to say it again. We are either dead or unable to speak. When we were in the university, there was a person, she went on holidays and came back, that's all. She could not speak or talk again. Holiday. Very, very brilliant person. Very brilliant. She just went, everybody went on, salam alaikum, salam. She was talking like every other person. But she came back, she could not talk, she could not hear. Wallahi. The brother here knows the person. So, it's either that or that we die and we can't say anything again. So let's take this opportunity to say a lot of these. And this will make us understand the importance of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam's statement that La tazalu lisanuka rotba min zikillah. La yazalu lisanuka rotba min zikillah. Do not make your tongue become dry of remembrance of Allah. So this one, you don't need any number. Say, Ustaz, please, how many times can we be saying Alhamdulillah? Say it any other time. Any number of times you like. If someone comes and says, that's Alhamdulillah in that hadith, it should be said 50 times in the morning, 50 times in the afternoon, 50 times in the night. It's an innovation. One of the ways of bringing innovation into the deen is to specify what the Sharia has left general. Taqidu ma atlaqa al-Sharia. To specify and say, no, this is the amount of what the Sharia has left to be general. So there is virtue in saying Alhamdulillah. If you can't remember all the time, at least each time you drink water, say Alhamdulillah now. Each time you eat food, say Alhamdulillah. At least. So, and he said to alayhi salatu wasalam that Walhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan. But if you have the opportunity, add Subhanallah also. So he says, Tamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. So when he says, Aw tamla'u ulama, say this statement, Aw here, this shak is from one of the reporters of the hadith. And it does not affect the meaning of the hadith. Like in Ada'an lil Amana, he mentioned that this is how it has been reported with the old teacher. It does not affect the meaning of the hadith in any way. To say, أَوْ تَمْلَأُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So it does not affect the meaning in any way. So this makes us understand that we should do more of making adhkar, zikr. You go out of the house, you are coming into the house, and all that. We should make adhkar in all the time. We eat food and all of these. We meet our women, we come into the bathroom, we go out of the bathroom. All of these. We should not forget all these adhkar, because they will be sources of benefit for us in our grave, both from this dunya and in our grave and on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. So he says, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ. Salah, the salah that we perform, was salah. You see, Alif wa Lam, they are the salah that we know. Nur is a light. The salah is a light. So ulama say, because it will make you leave that which is darkness and evil. It says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ. So it's a light for you. The salah is light, nur. And he says, وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ. And charity is proof or evidence. Evidence of what? Burhanun is an evidence. Evidence of what? Evidence of iman. Because wealth or whatever we give in form of a sadaqah is what you like. Human beings covet wealth, money, house, car. We like these things. They are beloved. If you say they are not beloved, I'll say you are a liar. Because Allah says, Zuyina linnasi hubbu shahawat. Allah who created you said you, He has made this endearing to you. And the first one is Mina Nisa, Wal Banin, Wal Qanatir al Muqantarat Mina Zahad Wal Fis, and all that. So you like it, unless you are not a human being. So as long as you are a human being, they are endeared, beloved to the heart. So when you give it out, you do not give it out expecting Allah's reward, except that you believe that Allah will recompense you for doing so. So it is evidence of one's iman. Giving out is evidence that the one who is giving out has iman. And that's why ikhwan, differentiate your act from one another and don't make your actions to go in vain. If you make sadaqah, make ikhlas with your sadaqah that you are doing it for the sake of Allah and that this is sadaqah. Because innamal a'malu binniyatu. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. So you must have the right intention to get the right reward. So that you not be doing a lot of things and the reward is enshrouded in vain, vanity. You not get anything. You make a lot of sadaqah, no value. So what will give it value is making it sincere for the sake of Allah. So then it will be diya for you. It will be burhan, the evidence of your iman. So your sadaqah is, giving sadaqah is evidence of iman. It shows iman in the heart. Imagine someone in 1989 or thereabouts, one of our teachers told us that someone was paying zakah of 85 million in 1989. You know, 85 million is suffice. That time, 1980 something. 85 million, it's enough to start a company at that time. 85 million will start, even now 85 million will start a company. Even now. 85 million, 1988, it's equivalent to almost 200 million now. So someone now has 85 million to give it out, zakah, for the sake of Allah. It's evidence of iman. Burhanun. So as-sadaqah to burhan. So giving out charity is evidence of what? Of iman in the heart. So he says, wasabru diya'un. And being patient brings about guidance. So you are patient, you are guided. Yeah. It shows you where to go, where not to go. So
because the place will be bright for you. You'll be guided, you know where to put your legs, where not to put your legs. As-sabr, being patient. Being patient to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being patient to obey Allah, because today, for example, someone wants to perform salah. Let's not say salah, because this environment, people don't abuse people because people perform salah. Thank Allah, alhamdulillah. In some environment, people abuse you because you perform salah. Allah told us in the Quran now, وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. Up till now, there are places like that in this country. I remember when I was first year in 92 or 93 in my university, I got wudu first university. I got ablution out of my, I got a kettle out of my bag to perform wudu. So as I was making wudu, and people say, come and say, come and see Hausa, they are performing Hausa washing, Hausa baptism. So when I started praying, they went to be calling themselves, come and see Hausa prayer, Hausa prayer. Far south, south. Ittakhazuha huzwan wa laiba. So, but in this part of the country, we thank Allah, alhamdulillah. Maybe what we should say again is, a woman is veiling, for example. A veiling woman, she's veiling. And everywhere she goes, people abuse her. To sustain this Sharia act, she has to be patient. So that is patience upon obedience to Allah. She be expecting reward from Allah for that iza, for that handcuffing that comes her way. Or patience regarding not committing a sin. A man sees a woman beautiful, rich, and all that, inviting him to zina. He says, "Inni akhafu Allah, Rabb al-alamin. Me am fearing Allah." This is also patience. Then patience in terms of the difficulties of life. Difficulties come in life, ikhwan. Allah brings difficulties in life. He is made it part of life. Not only that, ikhwan, part of iman. He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Certainly, we shall test you of something from fear and hunger. وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. And some reduction of wealth, well, anfusi was samarat, and life and vegetation, your crops. The sabr shir sabirin. Give glad tidings to those who are patient. Allazina iza asabatuhum musibatun qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. He says, ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim wa rahma wa ulaika humul muttaqun. So certainly we shall be tried. And it is based on this ayah that Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah consider this wrong for somebody to be asking, Allah, don't take my life. Allah, don't. These things, Allah said, I will do it to you. So he said it is wrong for somebody to be praying against those things. Alayhi rahmatullah. So being patient in those circumstances too is from what he said is what they are. So a Muslim has to be patient in these three circumstances: to obey Allah, to abstain from Allah's prohibition, and being patient in terms of the difficulties Allah brings. Someone is sick. I used to tell people, I don't like telling people who are sick sorry. Somebody is sick, I don't like telling him sorry. Because he's getting reward for it. Tell him labas tahur inshallah, so that you too you get reward of saying that zikr. أو أسأل الله رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيه. So that you too, you get reward. You pray for him and you are rewarded. Oh, he says, sorry, what do you get and what does the person get? Sorry. So say, لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. Because he's going to be purified as a result of that. He will get reward for being sick. He's getting rewarded for it. The only sickness that does not bring reward is the sickness of the hafid. Because hafidun too becomes sick. The one who is angry of a virtue that Allah has done to another person. They come sick too. When Allah increases that virtue in that person, they are sick. They can't sleep. They can't do anything. He is not rewarded for any. He is being punished. He is punishing himself, and he does not get any reward for it. Do you know Hasidun too becomes me? What do they call Hasad in English? The envy of people. They come sick too. In fact, it's an illness. So when they are sick, they don't get any reward. And you can't tell them, be patient. Because as far as they are concerned, there is no patience until that person loses that virtue that Allah has given to him. SubhanAllah. Until that person loses that virtue Allah has given to him, there is no patience. So sorry does not solve the problem for them. It's real punishment. Hasad is a disease that does not have a cure. Its cure is that the person who has that value should lose it. And as long as that person loses it, they are happy that, alhamdulillah. That is the only cure to their illness. Hasidun. May Allah save us all from the evil of Hasidun. No cure. Except if that person loses that favor. If the person dies, say, oh, okay, alhamdulillah. And don't die. It's hasad. But when the person increases in those virtues, those good deeds, is pained by the day. So as if saying that, Allah, why have you apportioned virtues to him? So there are those who don't, there is no way, there is no zikr to say to a hasid that will relieve him of his hasad. Rather, what we are taught is to say falak and nas, to be saved from his own evil, from his own disease, so that we are not affected by his eyes and all of that. So sabr, patience, comes from all these angles. And when one is patient, he's guided. So he is able to continue upon the good deeds. Because he will continue upon what Allah has ordered him. He will continue abstaining from what Allah has prohibited him. And when difficulties come as a result of what Allah has commanded him or prohibited him, he will be patient upon it, expecting Allah's ease to come as soon as the difficulty winds up. Or that if he dies in the difficulty, he expects to be rewarded by Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inside the difficulty. Like these companions who died from Ta'un, they could have run away, but he had prohibited them, alayhi salatu wasalam, from running away from a place that is entangled by epidemic. So they stayed there and they died there. They get the reward of the one who died in Ta'un, epidemic. So that is what patience does. It says, "Well, Quran of hujjatun laka aw alayk." The Quran is either evidence for you or against you. SubhanAllah. Memorizers of Quran. And everyone who believes in the Quran. Because Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, while he was explaining the verse, "Summa awrasna al-kitab al-lazina istafayna min ibadina, fa minhum walimun li nafsih, wa minhum muqtasidun, wa minhum sabikun bil khairat bi idhnillah." He said, "Awrasna al-kitab min ibadina," those who were inherited the book, the Quran, from our servants. That it does not only mean those who memorize the Quran. It means everyone who believes in the Quran. And someone cannot be a Muslim except that he believes in the Quran. So to say Al-Quran hujjatun laka aw alayk is not only referring to those who have memorized the Quran. Even if it is possible that their own case will be more severe if it is going to be against them. And more beneficial if it is going to be for them. It's going to be very, very beneficial if it is going to be for them. So, but if it is going to be against them, it's going to be more disastrous. Because they will be from amongst those that will be most severely punished in the fire. May Allah save us from that. And some of those in the fire will be making jest of them. "Ah, Ustaz, you too, you are here in the fire." And we say, that time that I was reading Quran to you, telling you to obey Allah and His Messenger, me, I was not doing it. May Allah count us out of that. So Al-Quran of hujjatun laka, the Quran is either evidence for you. So Allah, what I did it following the Quran. He said so, he said so, he said we should follow the Prophet Muhammad. He said, So hujjatun laka. Say, oh, enter al-Jannah. May Allah count us among them. Oh, alayk. Oh, the one who said, did you not read the Quran? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. It will be like that on the day of Qiyam. Were you not reading the Quran? Were you not taught the Quran? I didn't read, I didn't teach. Okay, did I not send Jibril to give to Muhammad alayhi salatu salam to bring to you? From what the Prophet will say on the day of Qiyamah is that, يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh Allah, my people, as I learned them, they abandoned the Quran. They abandoned the Quran by not reading it, reciting it, thinking about it, and acting upon it. It is from making hijrah from the Quran. Many Muslims make hijrah from the Quran now because they will give the excuse that they are working in bank. And as a banker, I have to resume in the office by 7 a.m. Kana mother. So it's adding salt to the wound. So you have to report in the office by 7 o'clock. He does not have time to read the Quran at all, no time. Even the azkar, assalamu alaikum by the imam like this, is out. No zikr, nothing. No Quran. When there is no zikr, is that when you be asking of Quran? So no reading, nothing, no anything, nothing, no any relationship with the book of Allah. So this is not a good thing at all. No matter how small, even if it is one page, even if it is one verse, a verse that you read that you get multiple rewards from it. Such that if you say Alif Lam Mim, you have 30 rewards. One for Alif, the other for Lam, the other for Mim. 30. So if you read one page, how many rewards are that? Are those? And in manifold. So, Ikhwan, let's make effort to read the Quran every day, no matter how small. No matter how small. And try to act upon the Quran. There is an author from one of the Tabi'un, Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, that he reported from Uthman bin Affan, that the companions, radiallahu anhum, used to learn, there's a discussion among the scholars of Hadith, whether Abdul Rahman al-Sulami actually heard from Uthman bin Affan or not. So some of them, Allahu Alam, what I can remember now, say he heard, some say he did not hear. But he has reported this author from him, that they used to take only 10 verses of the Quran. Daily. And when they take that 10, they will not go and take another one until they have acted upon the 10 that they had learnt before. He says, so we learnt the Quran and we learnt the actions of the Quran. That is the practicalization of the Quran. So that it will not be hujjatun alayhim. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that wal Quran hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Quran will be evidence for you or against you. Whether you like it or not, it will be evidence for you or against you. It says, "Kullu nas, every person, yaguzu, they wake up in the morning. Every person wakes up in the morning. So when you wake up, when they say, As-salatu khayru minan nawm, you make witr and all that. And they call in second adhan, you come out, perform salat to me. Kullu nas. When you do this, it says, Faba'i'u nafsah. You'll be making effort. When you woke up, you say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا. He started those efforts. بَاِعُ النَّفْسَ. Lexically, بَاِعُ النَّفْسَ means sell himself. You want to sell, everyone wants to sell himself. When you wake up, you want to sell yourself. This is what lexically it means. But ulama say, بَاِعُ النَّفْسَ means يَسْعَى. He makes effort. So when you say Alhamdulillah الذي أحيانا, it's from those efforts. يبيع نفسه. When you come or you want to enter the bathroom, you say the azkar, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. You come out, you say Gufranak. The hadith of Gufranak is authentic. There is one man called Amr Abdul Munim Salim. He said that this hadith is weak. His statement is weak. This hadith is authentic. So say gufranak when you come out of the bathroom. He said because the Imam al-Bukhari has not said that the hadith is, has not reported the hadith in his Sahih. So it means that the hadith is weak. His statement is weak because it's not every authentic hadith that you find in Bukhari. Is not an encyclopedia of all authentic narration. And then many other scholars of hadith have mentioned that the hadith is weak. Many of them, including Imam Hakim, Imam Ibn Hibban, and many of them, Imam Suyuti, Imam Tirmidhi, the student of Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmat, and many others have mentioned this hadith to say gufranak when you come out of the bathroom as from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So all these to be unasak, you are selling yourself or you are making what? Effort. So the Prophet said, and some people when they wake up, they have idols, they will first of all go and prostrate to. Once they wake up, they will say, Shango, or the idol, they mention the name of the idol, that who are idols, Yadiru Nafsahu. He's also doing what? Selling himself, or making effort. Some people when they wake up, the first thing they do is, they say, oh, there is one Nakali that wants, Sheikh said you should put under the pillow. So you remove it and put it where it's supposed to. Oh, I don't have you enough. So he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu nas, every person, yaghudu, he wakes up in the morning, fabai'u nafsa, selling himself, making effort. He says, famu'utiquha, some people will liberate themselves. They will liberate their souls. Some people, they will liberate their souls. They will act upon Allah's dictates. And by that, they will liberate themselves. From what? From perdition. From halak. From Allah's wrath. So he wakes up, he praises Allah. He goes to perform salat to sunnah. He makes azkar. So he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, famu'utiquha. So some people will liberate themselves. They will free themselves from Allah's punishment and his anger. They will free themselves, they become free. So they will say on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, that alhamdulillah, look at what they will start with. Alladhi azhaba anna al-hazan, inna rabbana lagafurun shakur. Alladhi ahallana dar al-muqamati min fadli, la yamassuna fiha nasabun, wa la yamassuna fiha luhub. Alhamdulillah, alladhi azhaba anna al-hazan. We thank Allah, who has taken this sadness and grief away from us. You know the sadness they are talking about? Being saved from the fire of hell. It says, Inna Rabbana, certainly our Lord, La Ghafurun, those small sins we committed, he forgave us. Shakur, those good deeds we performed, he rewarded us. Alladhi ahallana dar al-muqamati min fadli. This home we are going to stay forever. Out of his favor, he made it, he gave it to us. La yamassuna fiha nasab. Here there is no harm again. No lugub, no difficulty here that we have entered into. May Allah count all of us among them. So for mu'utiquha, every morning you are qualifying from this thing as a result of the acts of obedience that you carry out. It says, aw mu'biquha. Or in the morning also, from the morning as you wake up, mu'biquha. You are destroying your soul also. It's one of the two. There is no third to it. One is either liberating his soul, you will take kuha, or mubikuha. So destroying his soul, keeping his soul, saving himself from Allah's wrath and punishment. Or mubikuha. Or putting himself into destruction. Every morning, the kullu nas yagudu. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu nas yagudu. Fabai'u nafsa, mu'tiquha aw mubiquha. Every morning everybody wakes up. Everybody, kullu nas, you wake up by on nafsa, making efforts regarding his soul. Fa mu'tiquha, he either liberates his soul aw mubiquha, or he puts his soul into destruction. That's why that hadith of the Prophet, that anyone who finds good, فَلْيَحْمَدُ رَبَّهُ, let him give thanks to his Lord.
وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ The one who finds other than that, فَلَا يَلُمَّنَا إِلَّا نَفْسَ Let him not blame anybody. He's the one who caused it. He has Alhamdulillah to say, he did not say it. He has Subhanallah Alhamdulillah to say, he did not say it. He has other Azkar. He has Quran to read, he did not read it. He has all these Jawamil Khair to read, he did not read it. So, فَأَهْلَكَ نَفْسَ مُبِكُهَا أَوْ مُعْتِكُهَا He had all these opportunities and he maximized it. Or, he had all these opportunities. Sometimes, he goes to يُعْتِكُ نَفْسَ Sometimes, he does what? يُعْتِكُ نَفْسَ So, he on the day of Qiyamah, he struggles. Maybe one small thing, just did one day. His weight of goodness just surpasses that of his evil. So he becomes mu'tikuha. And you can be struggling between the two. حَمِلُهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِ Until he will die. Maybe shortly before he died, he was ill. Some people just say, there's one church and he goes there. فَيُبِكُهَا That's why he told us. We had read the hadith before. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأعمال بالخواتيم الأعمال بالخواتيم The consideration of deeds is for the last two. The last deeds, they are the most considered ones. The last deeds, they are the most considered ones. That's why he himself will pray عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها Make my end good in all of my affairs. Let me end every affair that I engage myself in. Make it end well. Many people start well and end badly. And many start badly and end well. So that's why no one has to rest on his rather and say, ah, we are, mashallah. We are Salafis. We are. Nobody has to rest. Nobody can should say, ah, at least I've done those ones now. Let Allah relax. Because you do not know upon what you will end. He says, "Kullu nafs yabdu." Everyone starts off in the morning making efforts. Bai'u nafsa, making efforts on his own, upon his soul. He says, "Famu'tiquha aw mubiquha." We ask Allah to count us amongst those who will save their own soul from their deeds. This is evidence that good deeds help somebody to get Jannah. From Allah's Fadl. Good deeds help someone to get Jannah. From Allah's Fadl. We ask Allah to make us understand this hadith better than it has been explained. أَقُولُ مَا أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ If there are a few questions we can try to answer. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Back to you, when we were explaining the Prophet Salah, you didn't mention of Allah's Prophet Mishri. So you explained that Allah, is it that through the prayer time, they are different from the Prophet?
To say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim does not have a riwayah. It does not have isnad. Oh, Malam, specialist in Quran, does it have riwayah? Does it have isnad? A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. Does it have isnad? It does not have isnad. If you read Sifatul Salat al-Nabi, the big one in three volumes, you'll see it there. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم It does not have إسناد What has إسناد is two You say أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفسه إسناد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفسه It has إسناد But to say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم He does not have isnad. You know what I mean when I say it does not have Islam? Alaykum as-salam. I didn't hear you.
One should be proud at wearing or putting on
he said when I was describing somebody, I said he's wearing Mwadwa Benki. No, I'm just using it to complete what they do. Most times, you see people shave their beards. I'm just describing a set of persons. They shave their beard, they drag their trousers, and they wear Mwadwa Benki, wearing the brocade. They have arrived. That is the meaning of they have arrived. It does not mean that wear Mwadwa Benki. That's car. But me, I can't wear it. So I'm not saying it's wrong to wear Mwadwa Benki. But I'm describing some people that they used to shave their beard, they drag their clothes on the ground, they wear big brocade like this, and they wear Mwadwa Benki. You understand? So I'm not saying to wear Mwadwa Benki is wrong. To show that we have arrived. That's what they want to tell you. Munzo. It does not mean that to wear Mwadwa Benki is wrong. Alaykum as-salam. It could be better not to wear Mwadwa Benki if it is known with evil people in the society. Just like in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, if you are dressing like this, you have not dressed properly as a student learning Islam until you have wear shima. And to know the difference between the scholars and the non-scholars, you will never see. If you see Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al Uthaymeen or any of the scholars of Saudi Arabia, you will not see that black thing on their head. There is a black rope-like material on the head like this, round. You never see it on the head of a scholar. You will never see it. And you will never see a student of knowledge walking like this without shimak on his head. Or gutra. It is also called gutra. This khimar, it's also called khimar, the head covering. So if you go to the environment and you are a student of knowledge, you must wear it, else you will be considered as one vagabond on the road. Just like somebody is a student of knowledge, he wears jeans now. He talks up, on the jeans they write, Tulampa, yeah. I come here and say, Juan Salafi, we are Salafis here. Salafi. What did you say to the person? He could be, he may not be a drunkard. He may not be smoking. He may not, you understand, he may not. But that is not the way of the people learning Islam or teaching Islam. There's a brother that I know, he came to Nigeria. He wanted to go to a hotel. I said, look, if you go to a hotel here in our own environment, it would be better if they go stay for a hotel. You carry a woman to a hotel, it is not the sign of a good person. That's just stay in somebody's house. So communities have things like it does not mean that to stay in a hotel is bad. But in places like Saudi Arabia, to stay in a hotel is sharaf, is honor. 5-star, 10-star, any star. In fact, if they want to do daura, the daura that they will do in one class, they will find one school here and do daura. It is the 5-star hotels then where you will not be tired. For 5 hours, they are giving lecture, you will not be tired because AC is blowing all your head. So not this kind of village. You talk for 1 hour, 20 minutes, all the head is hot. When these fans stopped, I saw one of those looking up, saying, I'm sure I would be saying, SubhanAllah. So things vary in communities. So if it is known that the people who dress like this are not good people, then those who are students learning should keep firmly to the way students dress and not change their ways. They should not change their ways. In this community, those who wear jalabiya and nifusak and wear a cap and give their beard, they are ustaze. Don't change your way of dressing. Be ustaz. Ustaz doesn't wear babariga here. Do they wear? I'm asking. Those who know more, you should know more. Allahu Allah. Some, very few, cook. But what is common is imma jalabiya or kaftan or something, cook. So
keep more to that. So it does not mean that to wear Muadu Abenki is. Even when me, I don't like the camp. Alaykum as-salam.
Alaykum as-salam. You explained that you're talking about applications and everything. I don't know, are you becoming from ascribing
yourself to one or two? Yeah, don't ascribe. Ascribe yourself to Islam, generally speaking, and Salafiyah, specifically speaking. Ascribe yourself to Islam or to Ahlul Sunnah or Jama'ah. Ascribe yourself to Islam, generally speaking. And specifically speaking, ascribe yourself to Sunnah, to Ahlul Sunnah or Jama'ah. Because even when you say Sunnah, you have not finished. What about Al-Jama'ah? The two must go hand in hand. So ascribe yourself to Ahlul Sunnah or Jama'ah or Salafiyah. That's why you don't have, we know that you are talking about pure Sunnah. Once you say Salafiyah, it's pure Sunnah. So when you affiliate yourself to organizations, affiliations and fanaticism have to do with societal decisions take precedence over instructions of Allah and His Messenger. I give you one small example. When those people organize IBCs, they will mobilize women to go. Is it not so? Is it correct to carry a woman to a program without a mahram? It's wrong. One of them said recently in a discussion that their leaders used to go with their own wives. I said, okay, you are Zolimun. You used to go with your wives, but you never told those people that it is wrong not to come with their fathers or their brothers or their husbands, as the case may be. Are they not Zolimun? فَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا لَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do what they do not tell people to do. It's from the attributes of some bad people. Let me not mention it here so that they don't say that I'm calling them Khawarij. From their attributes is that يَفْعَلُونَ مَا لَا يُؤْمَرُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. They tell people to do what they don't do, and they do what they don't tell people to do. So if you carry your own wife and children and all, you carry your the wali, you take them to the IVC, you carry other people's children to the IVC, and you don't tell them that it is wrong, what are you? They have been thinking that they are worshipping Allah when they are actually singing. So you know I didn't tell them. Meanwhile, you invited them to that thing, thinking that you are doing good. I remember one brother was Amir of one, Ra'is of one poly. He said he will not carry any woman who does not have any mahram to IBC. They remove him from Amir. Not only that, they make sure that from his time till as I'm talking now, any person who wants to be the Amir of that university, you must take oath that you will carry women to IBC. What I'm talking is not PMCU, MSS. So when they say fanaticism and factionalism, what is it if not this? This is just one of it. There are many others. When they want to become Amir, you know the kind of intrigues that is there. The Prophet prevented them from saying that, hey, make me Amir. We know what happens. They factionalize. They have factions within the MSS that are lobbying to become the Amir amongst themselves. They fight. I have seen people fighting blow. They bring Mopo to dispatch them. I didn't go to that program. One of the brothers was telling me that you didn't come, you're afraid. I said, Imam al-Bukhari said, alayhi rahmatullah, that al-firaru min al-fitnati min al-iman. To run away from fitna is from iman. Many of them wouldn't run away. That day when I was telling him this hadith, they were in the CID office, because CID catch some of them and throw them in the SIID. MSS. So, and then they consider anybody who is not in the MSS as if he has not known dawah. Ha! Dawah. Is the dawah in the north here? Some of them, they have already shaved their beard. The MSS boys in the north here, those who are in the area units, and this is what they are known for. They shave their head, they wear wariga and their beard, they wear wariga and wear Muadu Abenki. They go to the governors and start portraying themselves as the leader of Muslim youths. They collect money during election time. I'm telling you on authority, quote me anywhere. When in Niger State, the last governor who just left, Kure, some people are saying, Sharia, Sharia, where are those people shouting Sharia now? Quote me, where are they? Some people were made permanent secretaries and generals, permanent secretaries in ministries now. We know them. They know us too. And Sharia ended here. That is the Sharia. They will say a Muslim must be governor so that we can get something. What are they getting? For their own private pockets. It is still MSS, Ikhwan. So, ascribe yourself to Islam, generally speaking, and to Salafiyah. This, the brother that I told who was saying, hey, no, don't say Salafiyah. They oppose you and say, don't call yourself a Salafiyah. He said, don't say use that word again. You cause problems. So these societies have further broken the ranks of Muslims. They broke the ranks of Muslims in communities. They have done a lot of damage. It is in MSS Garden that they start mobilizing you to tell you that Sultan of Sokoto is not the leader of Muslims. That's where they start the brainwashing. And by the time people graduate into the community, when they say we should start fasting, say me, I can't follow Sultan. Who are you not to follow the Sultan? It's because you are in Nigeria. If you are in countries that government release that fast tomorrow, you say you will not fast. You see what the government will do to you. All those brainwashing start from MSS. They start from the societies and organizations. So Nasfat will choose their day that they will perform Eid. Qarib will choose their day, they will perform Eid. And Saruddin will choose their day, they will perform Eid. And all these, if you look at them, you see opposite ways of doing the things of Islam in it. To form organization and society is bad. And it is prohibited. Because Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. This is what the scholars have said. The big scholars of our time. People like Al-Albani, Ibn Uthaymeen, Ibn Baz, many of them, they have many fatawa. They have passed on these matters. They will never read those ones to you in IBC. They will never read it to you in IBC. Allah al-Mustaan. Alaykum salam.
I'm not one of those that can pass for this
one. What is it? وَلَتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Are they the ones to whom that verse was revealed? وَلَتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. It was revealed to them. Or they understand that verse better than those to whom it was revealed. Those to whom it was revealed, did they form organizations and societies? Organizations and societies never began to be formed in the history of Islam until the 19th century here. So I'll say the like of what Al-Imam Ayyub al-Suqtiyani said when someone invited him to one of the deviant sects, the Mu'tazila. He says, Mali wa ra'in uflisa wa ana hayyun. So what will I do with an idea that was started when I was alive? You know what he was saying? That if it were something that is part of Islam, it would have been done before I was born. Because the deen had been completed. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. So for 1,300 years, Islam had been there, no society. And people were reading, wa litakum minkum ummatun yad'una ila al-khair. Nobody formed any society. Nobody formed any organization. They lived as a body of Muslims together. But today, the more organizations, the more divisions among the Muslims. Just check it out. The more organizations, the more the division amongst the Muslims. All in the name of Walitakum Minkum Ummatun. Yaduna ila al-khair. Taniyan, who calls unto goodness? It is somebody who has learned that will invite to what he has learned. No matter how small that thing is. Somebody has learned, he invites to what he has learned. This is what we know in the history of Islam. So we know Halqatul Ilmiyah, gatherings of learning. Explaining halal and haram. This was what we know with the companions and those who came after them. We did not know society. Here, halqat al-ilmiyya, majalis al-ilmiyya. There is one dars here. It is the relics of it from what Sheikh Usman bin Fudi did that we are meeting here in the north. And that's why societies don't really function in the north. In the north here, if MSS is vibrant anywhere, go and look at it. It is not brothers from the north that are there. They're either from Kogi or brothers from Southwest. Because they hardly tasted anything called real Islam. Those who really tasted Islam from its beginning, the way it is supposed to be, they set up Halqatul Ilmiyya. Somebody is reading Bukhari there. Yada is reading Sahih Muslim there. Yada is reading Kitab al-Tawheed there. All those organizations, you've hardly find anyone reading anything anywhere. Hardly. They are always blaming the Jews. It is Jews that does not allow Muslims to know Islam. It is Jews that does not allow him to know how to perform wudu the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to perform the wudu. It is the Jews that prevent him. So there are many other things to say. So that verse is not evidence for them. You can see a good refutation of what they say on this verse in the book called Ad-Dawat al-Islamiyya Baina Tahazzubi al-Hizbiyya wa Ta'awun al-Islamiyya by Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Haladi. He refuted them on these, their comments about this verse. Allahu Akbar. The last question, inshallah. Wa alaykum as-salam. There are other verses they used to quote, you don't remember, but I will remind you.
Is it all things that are prohibited going to the church? That is, this may be, for example, the church is meant for Christians to worship. And for that reason, for the period of time, the Christians are not worshipping at that particular time. Then some group of association or group of people come together to convert themselves to educate themselves in the
church. Their church. They didn't find a hall except the church.
Yeah, except the, according to what it was supposed to do, except the church. Because it happened in maybe in the...
No, don't worry, just ask your question.
So I want to just ask, what is the
must he go for that teaching? Why is he having to go there? It is not something he has to do as a matter of necessity. He does not need to go into the church. He stays away from mixing up with kuffar and being in their midst. It's not even afraid that Allah can open the earth and they sink inside and he is with them. It's good to be leaving all those people, leaving where they live, not that is, refraining from staying where they live, refraining from having something to do with them except with extreme necessity. How much more talking to sit with them in their church, start talking one thing that is irrelevant. That he says Alhamdulillah outside his in his house is better for him than to go and sit down in the church. So let him not do so. Except in the cases where it's mala buddha minhu. Something, there is no way it has to be like that. Allahu Alam. We'll stop here inshallah. Tomorrow, the next weekend, may Allah save our lives till then. We'll read a very, very lengthy hadith. The hadith of, again, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Radiallahu anhu. Very, very lengthy hadith. And filled with benefits. We hope to come early the evening, Allah, so that we can start on time and finish the hadith and not carry it over to next week. Akulu ma akulu hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.